Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we put US tax reform in the spotlight, with Congress apparently on the cusp of finalising the largest rewrite of the tax code since the 1980s. With the growing likelihood of legislation reaching the president's desk relatively soon, we'll ask our panellists to assess the potential impact of any bill, covering everything from equity markets to fixed income. Many economists believe the bill could boost economic growth by 0.2 to 0.5% next year, and while this may not have a massive knock-on in broad GDP terms, it could have positive implications. We'll hear why. Let's start with David Lefkowitz, Senior Equity Strategist, Americas, UBS Wealth Management CIO. We had probably the last really, really significant rewrite of the tax code, what, back in the 1980s. And it seems we're maybe on the cusp of finalising the next one. If this hits the president's desk, what's that going to mean?
So, yeah, from our perspective, Tom, I think there are a couple of implications. I mean, first, I do think it's a modest boost to economic growth. Keep in mind that this is going to increase the budget deficit by, you know, anywhere between $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion. So it's going to stimulate the economy a bit. You know, that being said, I wouldn't overstate some of those benefits. We think the boost to economic growth is going to be 0.2 to 0.5% in 2018 or the year after the bill is enacted. So it's helpful, but it's not necessarily a game changer. And I think that's probably the most important thing to keep in mind.
What about the political backdrop to all of this? Brian Rose is Senior Economist Americas in the UBS Wealth Management CIO. Brian, if we compare where we are now with where we were when we spoke back in January of this year, how have things moved on? I guess this is slightly more on the sort of almost political side, but has the sort of backdrop really changed significantly in your view?
Well, a lot of things that people were anticipating to come from the Trump administration haven't happened. Obviously, tax reform appears close to being enacted, but hasn't happened yet. The Obamacare repeal and replace, that effort didn't really go anywhere, although there has been some changes at the margin. But the one thing that has happened in the positive direction is the deregulation effort. So the Trump administration has come through in terms of deregulation as Trump promised during the campaign. There has been a lot of effort made to either repealing existing regulations or stopping the implementation of new regulations that were planned. And I think this has had a positive impact on the economy.
David Lefkowitz, we talked too way back at the start of the year. It certainly seems a long time ago now. And we talked a little bit about the tax reform outlook and said, well, look, you know, even though we might have the GOP in both the houses and with a, well, nominally perhaps Republican president in the White House, there are already fractures and that makes progress here more difficult. Has that complexity or the picture around that changed a lot in the intervening few months?
It hasn't changed that much. I think if there's one unifying idea within the Republican Party, it still is focus on tax cuts. So this is sort of the one initiative that I think there still is a strong consensus in the Republican Party. But as we've seen in some of the other initiatives that so far have not come to fruition, it's more difficult to get a consensus within the Republican Party on some other things like healthcare, and we haven't heard anything on infrastructure. I guess to be fair, the other thing that probably is more of a consensus view amongst the Republican Party is deregulation. Now, I don't think you're going to see sort of a big bang in terms of deregulation. It's going to be lots of little small things, and we're seeing those progress, and lots of those things can be done just simply by the administration, which doesn't really need to work with Congress on many things. So I think the administration and the Republican Party is moving ahead on some of their initiatives, but maybe the expectations were a little bit too ahead of themselves right after the election, and some of those sort of very, very wild expectations are unlikely to be fulfilled. Nonetheless, progress is being made on a few fronts.
Pim Fox anchors Bloomberg's Taking Stock. Pim, how do you feel the political backdrop here has shifted since the start of 2017?
Well, I guess what's changed is, you know, you have a White House and a Republican Party that is desperate for a legislative win. So you have a situation where if this conference, and just to give you a little bit of background, the House puts together its tax overhaul plan, the Senate puts together its tax overhaul plan. Both of those bodies then have to approve those individual overhaul plans. Once they do so, each group, the House and the Senate, appoint their own members to a committee whose job it is to resolve the differences, to put it together in the shape of one bill that can then be voted on and then would be sent to the president for his signature. So in the meantime, what have you had? You've had no passage of any legislation that directly affects the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. You've had a variety of distractions, at least as far as the ongoing investigation into possible collusion with Russia and the Trump presidential campaign. So you have a situation where the Republican Party needs to have a win. And in order to notch a win, they've had to put together a plan which satisfies just enough of their constituents in order to get this thing passed.
Pim Fox. What's the big picture here, Brian Rose? If we take a step back, let me get your view. If we look at Congress, it's sort of we're finalizing this rewrite, and people are suggesting, you know, this could be the biggest significant change to the tax code since, well, I guess the 1980s. If this does get across the line, what would be the big picture impact of that?
So there's a couple of important things to keep in mind. First is that we don't know what the final package will look like. So the Senate passed their version, the House earlier passed the version, and now there's negotiations to reconcile differences, and the same version has to pass both houses again. And it's not clear what's going to happen. So don't count too much based on what we've seen so far. We may see some last-minute surprises, things that aren't in either version of these bills suddenly incorporated. The ultimate corporate tax rate, which has been a big focus of the reform efforts. Right now it's 20% in both versions, but no guarantee that it'll be 20% in the final version. So we need to wait to see what comes out. And another very important point in terms of economic impact is that while everyone is focused on the positives to come from tax cuts, they are implementing substantial tax hikes. And those tax hikes are going to fall on certain specific areas of the country where there are relatively high state and local income taxes, high property taxes. Those areas are going to take a big hit in the fairly short run, and those negatives are going to offset some of the other positives from the tax cuts.
Again, sticking with that big picture stuff, we've discussed some positives and negatives, but Brian, how would you characterize the overall gains potentially here?
So overall, if you look at very big picture, tax cuts on a net basis are around 0.5% of GDP, but the multiplier on those cuts is probably going to be pretty low. A lot of the benefits are flowing to very wealthy households who will tend to save it rather than spend more. I don't think corporate behavior will change very much. I don't think this will lead to, you know, a big surge in, say, higher new job creation because of the tax cuts. And the one sort of very subtle point on this is that the Senate version, which delays the corporate tax cut by a year, that actually has the potential to have a more stimulatory effect in 2018. And the reason is maybe a bit difficult to understand, but basically, if you're a company that has a 35% tax rate and you're thinking about making an investment, it makes sense to front load that investment into 2018 when your tax rate is higher than in 2019 when your tax rate will be lower. And that kind of, it's a subtle point, but that could lead a lot of companies to bring forward their investment plans into 2018 and have a bigger positive impact on growth. The problem being that there's going to be a fall off in 2019. So this is a temporary but could be significant stimulus for next year.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at what all of this means for investors. David Lefkowitz, if we can turn to you again next, what would any prospective move mean for equity markets and sectors within that?
At a market level, we think that this bill, I just talked about the economic benefits, but I also think it's important to bear in mind that a lot of the reforms we're talking about are very targeted at the corporate sector. So the impact on corporate profits could be a bit larger than the economic impact. So we think the bill could increase earnings for the S&P 500 by about 8%. And it's going to depend on some companies are going to be better positioned than others. I mean, a rule of thumb is that those companies that are more domestic are going to see the biggest benefits, and those that have more international exposure are going to see less. The other important point here is that it really will depend, I think, on some of the competitive dynamics within industries. Will shareholders be able to keep the extra profits that come from tax cuts, or are those savings going to be passed on to consumers or perhaps reinvested by corporates? So it's really going to depend on an industry-by-industry basis how this impacts shareholders and customers and investment.
Let's pick up a few key takeaways for investors, too, from Brian Rose. What are the questions, Brian, that investors and clients are asking you, and how are you and your colleagues addressing them?
Yes, I think there may be two main points in terms of the investment implications of the tax reform. First is that this tax reform is mainly benefiting businesses. It's a bigger benefit to the stock market than it is to the economy. And second point is that this is an extremely unusual point in the business cycle to be implementing tax cuts. So we're near full employment, the economy is running near full capacity. If we have significant tax cuts that stimulate growth, in some sense is likely to force the Fed to raise interest rates more to offset it. So in the end, you may not end up with a much bigger GDP, but you may end up with is bigger budget deficit and higher Fed funds rate.
Let's get an investment view too from you next, David Lefkowitz. We like to consider how what we're discussing here speaks to investors, to clients. And whether we're looking at, I don't know, US equities, whether we're looking at US fixed income, are there any sort of key things that perhaps, you know, you stress to clients and to investors when you're talking to them around this theme?
I think it's important to just keep in mind this is politics and policy are sort of one aspect or maybe two aspects of the investment landscape. I mean, there are other factors that are going to be big drivers or perhaps even bigger drivers of what investors can expect in terms of returns from particular asset classes. So, you know, more broadly, I think it's important to keep a focus on the big picture. Corporate profits are growing nicely here in the U.S. and frankly, around the world at this point. We think that's going to continue into 2018, which sets up what I think will be another decent year for stocks. The tax reform could be an added boost. We think only about half of it is priced in at this point. So if we do see it come to fruition, it could be another modest boost on top of what is should be a good outlook for 2018. But I think it's important to keep it in perspective. It's just the politics and policy are just one aspect of the investment landscape. The other, you know, economic growth and just corporate profits tend to be bigger aspects at this point. So important to keep that in mind, I think.
What would any bill's impact be in terms of the macro picture? There's been lots of talk, Pim Fox, about big corporations and stock buybacks, for example.
You're going to see a lot of stock buybacks, and I think you'll also see an increase in dividend payouts, because if that money does come back to the United States, the money let's say Apple has overseas, or Microsoft, or you know, you name it, any big multinational corporation that has managed to earn a lot of money over a period of time, and they've been keeping the money in places where they can shield it from the IRS. If it comes back to the United States, then the question becomes, what are they going to do with it? Well, on a political level, you want to be able to say that they're going to spend the money to hire more workers, build more factories. But in truth, I think you're going to find that a lot of chief executives and a lot of boards of directors are going to approve stock buybacks. So they'll be using the money to buy back their own shares, which supposedly will increase the value of the shares that are outstanding. So that'll be good for the stock market and for stock investors. And the same thing holds true if you decide to increase dividends. Obviously, the majority of the individuals and the institutions that own stocks will benefit because you'll see greater payouts.
Finally, on the program, one other thing to bear in mind. Sure, there's lots of focus on stimulus from this, but what of additional stimulus coming potentially from the budget? Brian Rose, again.
Right now, the government funding runs out in a couple of days, and we have to see, there's negotiations going on. But I think in order to get a budget passed, what we might need is for both sides of the aisle to get something they want. So more military spending and more domestic spending. And this could be a considerable amount of money. So in the end, you could see more fiscal stimulus coming through the budget than we get from tax reform itself.
And that's Brian Rose, bringing us to the end of this 166th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at the website or via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.